Hello, this is Joshua Teeter. I'm creating an audio diary of the COVID experience. This is for the Healthy Humanities class led by Dr. Louisa Rice and for the COVID archives here in the Wisconsin area. I'm thinking the Chippewa Valley Archive. I'm going to start first of all talking about my experiences with COVID. I lived in Naperville at this time. Naperville, it's in the Chicago and Illinois area. And then I'm going to talk about my experiences here in the Chippewa Valley area, just because I was visiting here for college tours and the like, and I started living here in the back end of COVID. So I just want to talk about first my experiences, then get over to the experiences down here in Wisconsin. So let's get started in Naperville, shall we? So when this all started, I was a sophomore in high school. And I didn't really know about this at the time. None of my friends knew about it. And we just weren't really caring much about the outside of our little bubble since, obviously, we're high schoolers. We don't really care much about what's not directly affecting us. And over the intercom, we hear, oh, we're not going to go to school on Thursday and Friday because of the recent events in the world. And me and my friends are like, oh, cool, 2 days off. And we're going to have a 4-day weekend. We're going to have some fun, go to one of each other's houses and stuff like that. Just like hang out and have some fun with the 2 days extra we got off. And then when I got home, I kind of learned through the grapevine because I had a very extensive friend group and in high school. So, and I learned through the grapevine that a new virus was going around, and it was affecting a lot of China, Europe, and all those places across the world. And they were shutting down school to give, I don't know, time for this all to settle and to not put us in any danger, quote unquote. I think the main reason why they didn't do it is because they just didn't want to put themselves at risk of shutting down and losing a lot of jobs in Naperville, because the school district I came from is a very prestigious school district, not to my own horn, but if they were shut down for just a little bit, a lot of the rich parents and rich kids would complain and put pressure in the school to do more. But, and this gave them some leeway in, oh, we're trying to figure things out and figure things out on their end before they got hit with the brunt of it. But this weekend turned from a long weekend to a spring break to a month without school as everything was being shut down. All the grocery stores, everyone was being panicked. Everyone was panic buying. All the toilet papers fly off the shelves. My family didn't really panic as much because we knew that everything's going to go stalemate as soon as all the panic died down. But we still bought our fair share of bulk necessities. We always buy it in bulk anyway. But we bought a little bit extra because of the panic, and that if we didn't buy it now, then we would be left out on later. We wouldn't have the toilet paper or the paper towels or any of the food to go around. But this month off really made a lot of people antsy. The virus was going around, shutting everything down, and everyone was panicking, like, oh, what if I get it? What if I get it? What if I contract it? What if I don't go to school? Well, after this month, a lot of parents were becoming antsy because they're like, oh, I'm paying for school. Why is the school shut down for like a month? Why are we not doing anything for our kids? When our school went asynchronous, since it was the ending of the year anyway, they went full on. The teachers made assignments to go to do at home every day. We had an 8-period class schedule, so every day we had 8 periods, 8 classes, 45 minutes each. So all eight of our classes had assignments to do every single day. And we were, if we started at the same time that our school started, like at 7:45, we would get done by noon. And it was not really us learning, per se. I didn't really have a lot of rigorous classes my sophomore year. But not having anyone to teach you was really a different learning style, because you had to read just a bunch of articles or just like fill out a worksheet and you would be done for the day. You didn't really learn much. Back then, I thought it was very, very cool, because then I could just get done with my stuff and go downstairs and play video games with my brothers all day, because we couldn't really go outside. We couldn't really go out and hang with our friends because everyone was worried. My family wasn't as worried about it, because my dad was a construction worker, so he had to go to work every day anyway. He was an essential worker, and he didn't really feel the need for the masks and stuff. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. She did work at home. She was a network engineer, and she worked at home most of my life, so it wasn't really much of a difference. So this COVID really didn't affect my family as much, since my dad always went to work anyway, not really fearing about bringing it home. He kind of did a little bit here and there as he went to Chicago and higher populated areas, but we weren't as worried that it would affect us. Then our next school year started to begin over the summer. A lot of my friends did Zoom calls, played games online with each other. We were all very afraid of harming one another. So over that summer, we just did a lot of calling and texting, and we just really didn't really interact with each other until the next school year, which we still was at home, but over Zoom. All the teachers were allowed to go into school or stay at home and teach from the comfort of their own homes. And yeah, it's just how you would feel like it would be. They would just sit down with their cameras on and have a slideshow presentation, sometimes not even at all, and just talk to you about the things that they were learning, like biology. I know I had a fun teacher called Mrs. Hastings. She would always have the slide presentation up. She would always say good morning to us, because she was like our first class of the day. And it was just really weird, because she would always have her kid and her cat on, and you could see a lot of the teacher's personal life outside of school. And I just felt like that made me more connected with my teachers, as you could see the more personal side of them and all that kind of stuff that you never see in school. But this was really a step up from asynchronous. You were there all day in the scheduled time where we usually had classes, but just on Zoom. A lot of people had internet connection and difficulties just to skip class. A lot of people just didn't go at all, and they didn't really have to. You could cheat your way out of things really easily. And there really wasn't any penalties, because there was nothing the teachers could do. Now they couldn't prove anything. They had a lot of things and programs that they could look and stuff, but there's a ways around it. It was just a very interesting school experience, because no one really had to try. Everyone just sat there with their cameras off, doing something else, like playing video games, watching TV, not even paying attention, and still getting hundreds in their classes. And it was just an interesting experience. The second semester was even more of an interesting experience, because people were allowed back in school. They had a system where on Mondays, it was a very interesting schedule, since they split up our 8-period schedules into 4-period schedules, and we had 130 minutes of one class, 4 classes a day. If you had your lunch period, then you didn't have to be on Zoom. But for those 4 periods, you just were on a call for 1 hour and 30 minutes every day. And This was still in first semester, just to let you know. I talk about second semester, but second semester was a whole different beast. It really set me up for college, though, because a lot of classes here are an hour and 30 or an hour 15 minutes long, and they're way longer than my classes back at home. So it definitely really prepared me, but it was just a wacky experience because you, up until that point, you're always in class, you're always with the teacher, you're always getting assignments and papers to bring home, but it was surreal because everyone was at their own home. You're doing schoolwork from your own home. And, well, it was just weird, especially with the killing of the snow days. Even if there was like, there was a bunch of snow on the ground and it was like negative 50 degrees. And we're like, we're going to have a snow day. But then we remembered, we're online. We don't need to. The schools got smart. They said we didn't need to go to school. So everyone just get on the Zoom and no more school, no more snow days. And I felt a lot like that kids in the future are going to have not feel the joy of snow days anymore because they can just go online. They went to the rodeo before. They can just say, okay, everyone, pick up your computers, get on the Zoom, we'll do classes that way today. It's just, I don't know. It just feels kind of sad that we're losing that. Well, at least here in Wisconsin, you get snow days all the time. But it's just in the lower schools, like high school, having that snow day, it's nice. It's a nice little break. It's a nice little thing to have, but it's not going to be there anymore. So we got to live with it. I went on a tangent. But the second semester we went to hybrid, which is half in-person, half at home, asynchronous. They had a schedule where we went back to our eight-period schedule, but half the week, the first half of the alphabet went to school, in-person school, and then the other half of the alphabet of last names went to school in-person, and the other half stayed online. So I'm teeter, so I have a T. So I wasn't always in the later half, and I would always have to go on Thursday and Friday. And who would want to go on Thursday and Friday? No one, not me. We had an option to stay at home or go inside. Go inside as I mean going to the school. And for band, yeah, that's cool. You can go in band and see the instructor face to face. But a lot of times you just didn't. You just didn't feel like it. Especially those on Thursday and Friday, teachers were in empty classrooms because no one wanted to go to school. And there was no rotation. There was no rotation of, these people get to go to the beginning of the school and these half goes to the Thursday, Friday. No, there wasn't any schedule about changing last names. So no one went on Fridays. And later half of the alphabet didn't get to go to school because they didn't want to go on Thursday and Fridays. And it was all right. The in-person learning was very new, I would say, to the school because you had to be like 6 feet apart per the CDC guidelines, and it was just weird because you had a whole lab desk to yourself. All the band room had squares like taped on the ground of where all the seats could be. There's only a certain amount of people in the band room at the same time. It was just surreal, especially marching band. I'm going to get off topic, but from my list right here, the marching band was really, it was normal. It was a real bit of normal in a not normal stance. They didn't have masks in marching band. Everything was outside. So all the gatherings and stuff were outside where you could stay 6 feet apart from each other. the formations were marked so that when we marched, we always stayed 6 feet from the person beside us. And we had these masks with little flaps for during the beginning part where the flap had a little hole in it, and then you can just unclip it from one side. It's the open little hole so you can put your instrument in, then you put up it back. And it was a nice bit of normalcy because you were outside. You didn't have to worry about it. Everyone was greeting each other like they normally have, closing that 6 foot gap just a little bit much. I was a section leader during that time, and it was refreshing being in that group that could take off their masks and just talk to each other like normal. And since it's been going on for so long, that this was a very nice reminder of what everything used to be like and everything could be like once again. And the first bit of normalcy that I came from COVID, the first time I felt like, oh, everything's back to normal again, is when coming to the B&B and coming here and seeing that no one had their masks, no one was worried about getting each other sick. And it just rang with me that this is the first bit of normal that I've had in a long, long time. Especially if you're thinking back, oh, it happened in 2020, and 2022 is when we started to take off our masks again and become back to normal. Even now, there's some things going around of masks and COVID and the scare. And if you think about it, we came really far. The flu epidemic lasted for a long time. I'm actually going to look at the flu epidemic. The history, flu epidemic dates. Okay, so 4 pandemics of the flu happened in the last 100 years. 1918, 1957, 1968, and 2009. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I'm just trying to say that we came so far that the pandemic that we were in happened so short. Like the flu pandemic happened multiple times, yes, from 1918, 1920, okay. That 2 years just like COVID. But like the Black Death, they didn't stop this in 2 years. They didn't have all this technology to stop COVID and the viruses and stuff. And I just think it was so cool that we got done in almost 2 years. We're almost done, guys. It's not like it definitely changed society. Definitely changed society in a positive and negative ways. But it's just cool that we didn't spend too much time in it. We can definitely look back at this like, oh yeah, we went through a pandemic. But if you really think about it, it's only been 2 years. 2 and 3 years. 2020, 2023, yeah, only 3 years. And yeah, it's not that long. Okay, I got off track. Let me find my document here. I have a whole thing. What I'm supposed to talk about. Oh, yes, traveling. This is what I'm going to get to next. That was my experiences in schooling and COVID and how COVID started and stuff. Now I'm going to talk about the more recent things of COVID, like the coming here and touring the campus at UWEC for COVID, and just the traveling around the United States during this time, because a lot of traveling was cheap. Traveling was definitely cheap. So yeah, I'll get to that right now. I sent a question because I took a little break, just a little tiny break to go on TikTok right there. Yeah, I do take breaks. I have to take breaks. And I have to make sure my earmuffs are on. I could hear myself. And as you're wondering, why didn't I edit out a bunch of the pauses and stuff and the weird tangents I go on? Because this is an audiobook. It's an audio diary. I can say whatever I want, as long as I don't swear and make it not possible to be on the archive. But as long as I stay and be myself, I don't have to edit it. And yeah. So traveling. Yeah, I went a lot of places over the COVID area. That's a weird laugh. But I traveled a lot. A lot of airfares and stuff were dirt cheap because of the fact that no one wanted to travel. No one wanted to get sick, obviously. So I went to Hawaii. Yeah, that's the only course of action my parents would have taken. We went to Hawaii. It was dirt cheap. I'm not saying that the flights were dirt cheap. Yeah, the flights were dirt cheap. Round trip, it was like not even the price of one ticket now. One-way ticket now for one person, all five of us had round trip tickets for the same price as one-way ticket to Hawaii right now. Yeah, I would say that's a steal. My parents always look for steals. That's a steal. That was our vacation that year. That was our Christmas present. So we went to Hawaii, and it was actually really nice there. Hawaii was one of the places that didn't have it at that time, and they were testing everyone. You had to get on the plane, you had to get a COVID test. A couple weeks before, to get on the plane, you had to get a COVID test in the airport. And then at Hawaii, you had to stay in this whole long line with a mask on. And once you got COVID tested and said that you were good, you were allowed to take off your mask. And you didn't have to wear a mask anywhere in Hawaii. Literally nowhere. There was not a place where I had to take a mask out of my pocket and put it on. Because everyone was just so safe there. They checked everyone coming in. They checked everyone going out. They kicked out anyone that had COVID. They were just trying to make sure that no one got it there at Hawaii. Eventually, they got it, obviously. But at the time, there was no COVID there. And that was nice because it was normal. But you still had that looming threat of, COVID's when we get back home. So it wasn't really normal to me, at least, because you always had that threat of COVID coming back when you come back or like during there. But that's why I said marching band was the first bit of normalcy for me. But yeah, it was nice there. It had no mask. It was, and just going to the beaches and stuff. Then I also went to Colorado. Not Colorado. What am I saying? I went to Kentucky. Down that area. We went on a trip there just a couple of days ago, hiking at the Garden of the Gods. I don't know where that is exactly. I'm going to look it up while I do that. But the Garden of the Gods, okay, it is in Colorado. I was wrong. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, it was in Colorado. We went to Colorado, and we got a bunch of ice. We got shaved ice and stuff like that. We went hiking, and there was masks there, yes, but there wasn't as strict as there were in up here in Wisconsin and the Illinois areas. It was less strict down in like the middle of COVID down there in Colorado than it was up here in Wisconsin during the back half. Yeah, let that sink in. Down there in the South, they were a lot more lax about the rules than they were up here. Not saying that's wrong, not saying that's right. It's just how they did things, and it worked for them. It was a nice place. We didn't have our masks on anyway. We were hiking. We're out in the wilderness. It's not like we're going to get COVID from a tree branch falling on us. We got to see a lot of things. We got to see a lot of waterfalls. We got to see a bear, up close and personal bear. It was a nice experience. It was a nice experience just traveling around and seeing how the different places reacted to COVID and things like that. Colorado, obviously, had masks in like in the indoor areas, obviously. But in the outdoor areas or like in public places, there was not really much of a culture, I should say. Yeah, culture of people wearing masks just because they're outside and they weren't really staying away from each other. The restaurants and stuff weren't keeping people away from each other. They just had their masks on. They disrespected each other's space, stuff like that. Here in Illinois, when I got back from Colorado, You could say there's a culture of having your mask on in highly populated areas like a downtown area or the city, because of the fact that you're so close together, because it's the city. There's too many people to give them to respect their space, and there's not really a culture of respecting each other's 6 feet domain here in the Naperville and Illinois, Chicago area. Public transportation is a thing. No one's going to respect your bubble like they do in Colorado because of the fact that they got to get on that bus. Even if it's packed to the brim, no one's going to care about COVID. You got to get from your work to home, not wasting an hour waiting for the next bus just because you got to respect someone's personal space. No, there's not really the culture of respecting people's space. So that's why there was more of a culture of wearing your masks in Illinois or in Chicago. It's because of just the sheer amount of people and the sheer amount of space you don't have. So the masks were a thing and they were good. In Wisconsin, I would say that it was kind of a mix of the two. When I went to the college, they're saying, "Oh, you have to have your mask on the inside. You don't have to, but it's really recommended that you walk around with a mask because you're with a group of people." It was more lax, but you could still tell there was very much a strict cultural rule about keeping your mask on and keeping everyone else safe around you. When I went to La Crosse, there was less of that culture of keeping people safe around you by putting on your mask, but that's because of La Crosse. And around the areas of Eau Claire, just the downtown areas and things like that, the bar areas, not really. You could see no one wearing their masks. Like Water Street, no one's wearing their mask anyway. I didn't see anyone wearing their mask during COVID anyway, either way. But the less bar-er type areas, they had a lot of masks and a lot of, I don't know, like people respecting each other's space. Water Street didn't really have people respecting space or having masks, but and then having the two extremes in the like one little area that just felt really interesting about to me. Obviously, I don't come here that often. It was only that like one time, but yeah, it was very interesting to see that extreme things. And then during like the first semester here, everything. I came here early because of Marching Man. I came here like a week early, and it was nice. No one had masks on. No one required masks on the inside of stores and things. It felt normal, and it felt like we were returning to that place where, oh, it's normal. Exactly. Oh, there is one thing I want to talk about. Going back to 2021, I think. Yeah, 2021. Into like the height of COVID and the height of everything. One thing I thought was really cool is that people had drive-by birthdays. Like it's exactly like what you found, the drive-by birthdays. You can assume the other thing I was going to talking about. But it's just like that other thing. Exactly like that other thing. A lot of your friends made like posters, tapped it to the side of the car. If you were in a roundabout or an area, if you had a roundabout, people just go around the roundabout honking their horns at you, singing happy birthday, staying in their own car, staying away. Once they're done, went home, and then he called and talked about it. They gave you gifts by just chucking bags at you. You would stand in the yard, they would just chuck bags of gifts at you. Mostly they're just candies. Sometimes it was paintings, something that you just leave outside for a little bit when you got gifts or like anything from anyone, you left it outside, let all the COVID die off, and then you brought it back inside to eat the candy or to enjoy the gifts. So a lot of the presents that you were handmade things and candy and foods, things like that you can leave outside for a little bit and then bring it inside. I still have my posters. They just took him off the car and ran away. I think it was my birthday. Yeah, it was my birthday that was the first one to do this because I was the first one of my friends in April 14th. And we were kind of sad because the last years we couldn't celebrate each other's birthdays with each other because it was COVID. We'd just call and say, happy birthday. And nothing else. Nothing else. It didn't really feel special to our friends. And our friends just wanted to be like, hey, we're going to start the new thing. And so they went out and did drive-by birthdays. And it was fun. I remember just tying up a bunch of bags of candy. And my friend Daniel just standing there. And we drive-by, honked our horns. And we just chucked our candy things at them. It was a fun little thing that we did during COVID. Yeah, I remembered it as I finished recording this part of traveling, and I just wanted to put this in there because it was our fun little thing, and it's something that I think should be remembered throughout time, that COVID was such a bad thing, kept everyone in their homes, but it didn't stop people from being friends, didn't stop people from loving one another, didn't stop people from hanging out with one another. It was an amazing time to be with friends, and it brought everyone closer together. It brought people apart, yes. It brought people to become not friends, became people friends, but it brought my friends a lot closer together, and I just felt that little birthday thing should be remembered throughout time, because I know a lot of people did it, and it wasn't my friends to be the first one that thinks it up, obviously, but it was a nice little thing. And it was certainly a special thing to me, and something I'm going to remember throughout my entire life. And when I look back at this recording in the archive, and I'm going to be like, oh yeah, this is what happened. No, this is what happened. And I'll be able to tell people in the future who didn't live during the COVID era, oh, this is what happened. And it's just a fun thing to learn. People would come in the future and say, oh, yeah, this is what happened. Or, like, this is a good audio thing to learn about COVID. But I'm not doing this to teach other people in the future about COVID. It's about leaving a record of what happened. Even if it's just in this little audio jumbly ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha thing that I do for a school project. But a nice little thing to remember the future and remember the past. And those that came before us. Well, anyway, that's all my recording. It's 32 minutes long. I'm so sorry for the person who has to listen to all of this to organize it with all the rest of the stuff in the archives. Or Dr. Rice, I'm so sorry you had to listen to all of this. But it's a nice thing to put in the background, right? So this is me, Joshua Teeter, at 6:39 p.m. Wow, that's really late. Not that late. I should be in bed, though. I'm sick. the date is 3/13/2013, just a day before this is due. I did write my essay on why I chose this format last week, so you can't really say I didn't have this planned out. But I had this planned out. Yeah, I did. But yeah, the date's March 13th, 2023 at 6:39, probably going to be 40 when I end the audio. And yeah, so signing off, I'm Joshua Teeter. Have a nice night, y'all.